Hello and good morning. Thank you all very much for tuning into the program. There is an article, although it's somewhat dated now, but was carried in the Reader's Digest by Daniel Levine, entitled Drugs Are Back Big Time. He begins with this illustration. 18-year-old Mike Woods of suburban Cleveland describes his schedule this way. Every day after school, he smokes marijuana. Then he takes a nap or calls a few friends and just hangs out. Before he started smoking pot 3 years ago, his grade point average was 3.5. He was a star sprinter on the track team. Now his GPA is 2.7 and he has dropped track. Pot makes you lazy, says Woods. I don't like to do schoolwork. Even so, he admits he'll continue smoking marijuana. It has also led Woods and his friends to experiment with stronger drugs. A lot of people move on to acid, he says. In the local area, we might say they move on to methamphetamines or perhaps abusing various prescription drugs. The article says that when asked how many other students smoke pot, he laughs and says, I couldn't count, it's so many. It's like that all the other high schools around here, too. So this article is describing, in many cases, a far too typical teenager. And I don't really know what happened to it, but back when we had a so-called war on drugs, you could remember that they would make, like, television commercials wherein they say, this is your brain, it's your brain on drugs, and they would throw that egg onto the hot frying pan, and you just watch it fry, and they'd say, you got any questions? And, of course, there are no questions about it. It absolutely fries your brain. It makes everything just go into a fog. You cannot handle the significant things of life. You cannot handle anything that comes your way that would give you any kind of serious thought. It just makes everything befuddled, so to speak. And when you look into the subject of drugs themselves and all of the different messages that are promoting drugs, from alcohol to marijuana to various hard drugs, and the abuse of all kinds of narcotics and such, all of this, even though it's not peculiar to the state Tennessee-Kentucky line area, it is especially prevalent around here in the state line area and is causing just so many different problems. You have children who never have a life, and many of them don't seem to see the definite physical problems associated with doing drugs. I can remember when I was younger, I was afraid to do certain drugs. I knew of the potential effects of different kinds of drugs, and I'm wondering if they still teach that in any significant way to our children. We used to have whole school assemblies promoting abstinence from drugs. And anymore, it is seen that one state after another, and it's coming from the West and will be here no doubt very soon, are saying, no, 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 you have to legalize any and every form of marijuana that you can get a hold of, for one thing. Already, they're trying to turn every place just as full of alcohol as they possibly can, like they have for so many millennia. But it is even getting worse, it seems, with a variety of new kinds of synthetic drugs that have come along. Drug abuse and the issues surrounding not just alcoholism, but all forms of addiction have become such a problem that they are destroying homes, and you cannot focus on spiritual matters by virtue of the various difficulties we're having with drugs. Despite all of the pro-drug messages that many times people tout and say, well, it didn't really hurt you, and marijuana is good for this, and marijuana is good for that, the fact remains that marijuana is harmful. In that same article by Mr. Levine, he points out that studies show that marijuana disrupts short-term memory and hormonal levels. Young women may find their cycle is disrupted. Marijuana alters brain function. It harms the lungs. One joint has four times more tar than a tobacco cigarette. Notice there's no filter on marijuana joints. During a marijuana high, motor skills such as timing, coordination, and alertness are diminished. Marijuana is also, of course, a gateway drug. Goes into all kinds of other things. Various users of, no doubt, heroin, methamphetamine, and so forth have found that marijuana was what they started out with, along with alcohol, of course. And there are also kinds of bad effects that it has on men and women alike. Some of the especially pointed effects that it has on men and their difficulties in physique and everything are all attributable to the continued use of marijuana. Terrible, terrible. You know, the facts on the drugs, when you compare them with the clear teaching of Scripture, ought to cause any parent to be alarmed and ought to make you to where you keep a close eye on your children. Now, I give you these things this morning out of Scripture in order to relate to you the Bible doctrine of exactly how it is that God wants us to teach and educate people about drugs. Because sometimes people look at the Bible and they're like, well, this is a modern problem. No. Drugs are simply a generalization of the problem of alcoholism. And the reason why the Bible deals so much with the subject of alcohol is because it is a microcosm, it is an example of how you can apply the same kind of teaching to all drugs. So it's not that the Bible has to mention, say, methamphetamine directly. The Bible doesn't have to mention LSD directly and all those other things that people might do. It doesn't have to mention huffing things and all of that directly. Because when it deals with these principles that I'm about to give you out of Scripture, it is dealing with all such drugs and is dealing with the purity that God expects of His children and for us to pass on to our own physical children, to let them know that the Lord does speak concerning this. First of all, there is a reason why so many of these drugs are regulated, why they are controlled by law. And this applies to all kinds of drugs. For example, just start with alcohol. Why is it that you can't have a package store or a place selling alcohol within so many feet of a school? Why can't you do that? There's no reason to do it if it's such an innocent, such a pure thing. There's no reason to set any regulations on it. But the regulations that are set by the powers that be for the good of the people of the land. It says in Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." That's Romans chapter 13 in the first two verses. Later on in that same chapter, the Apostle Paul says, we should walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh definitely includes addiction unto drugs. If the government regulates it, then therefore you know that God has given a job for us to do in making sure that we follow after the law of the land and do that which would be good and healthy for us. But many of us turned a blind eye to what was happening when they were coming back into the land and getting prevalent again and starting to take over after all that work we did in the 80s to try to suppress the teachings and the practice of drug abuse, and then to have it come and just wash us over all again. It's just so sad. So I want us to point out just a few basic things here, is that drug abuse violates certain things. It, first of all, violates man's relationship to God. And that relationship is violated because, specifically, of the teaching that God has given us concerning our obligations to obey the law of the land. And if you take any of these drugs that are regulated, you're violating that law. And if you're underage, you're violating that law. You think that people are first exposed to alcohol, for example, when they're 21? Of course not. They, first of all, are exposed to it by somebody violating the law. And by foolish parents that don't keep everything put up like they ought to. And why they got that in their house anyway? You see what I mean? Children are exposed to these kinds of things way too early in life, and they don't know how to deal with it, and it violates the will of God Almighty. We can just go over to a simple passage, say in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. The time past of our life. This is 1 Peter 4 verse 3. The time past of our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. The teaching here of the sin of excess, that is, E-X-C-E-S-S, the sin of excess, the teachings of the Bible concerning drunkenness, for someone to become softened, the teachings of the Bible concerning someone to participate in banquetings. What would a banqueting be? 1 Peter 4:3. He obviously isn't fussing at the food, now is he? He's fussing at the idea of the liquor, the alcoholic beverage. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink. Habakkuk 2, verse 15. The principles of God are so very clear, and the use and abuse of drugs violates your relationship to the Almighty God Himself. Your Creator gives you an overriding principle of life, to be crucified with Christ, and to live, not you yourself, but let Christ live in you. You have mortified the deeds of the body, put them to death. Therefore now live in Jesus, because just as the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Gratitude toward God will push you away from drugs. Gratitude toward the saving grace of God to save you in life and preserve you for another chance should let you stop and say, wait a minute, I don't want this. I don't want that to dominate me or for it to be the guiding principle of my life. So many things that we could say about this, and I'll move on to another kind of area that describes how that drugs kind of hurt us in this too and keeps us from having good relationships. Drug abuse not only violates your relationship to God, but drug abuse violates your relationship to yourself. What I mean by that is that you destroy the potential within yourself with drugs. And I don't just mean the physical difficulties like getting cirrhosis of the liver or something. What I mean is that God expects us to have a certain control of our own body, and God expects us to use that body for our whole lifetime and for it to be healthy enough to serve Him. Now, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient or edify. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 and 13. Meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. You have to understand the purpose for which we have different drugs on this earth. They can help you when you're sick. They hurt you when you take them when you're not sick. Why was alcohol given, for example? Proverbs chapter 31, you take it when you're sick. You take it and you give to relieve to someone who is about to pass on and they're in pain in life. You don't take it just as a regular beverage, just say, oh, this is giving me a buzz. No, that's not the purpose of it. And the Bible is so clear about this. It makes clear that parents are to look after their children and make sure that the children are in obedience unto the parents and to follow after something that keeps you from hating both yourself and your fellow man. To love thyself. If the Bible says love thy neighbor as thyself, if you don't love yourself enough to stay away from the drug, then the drug, you see, is going to violate your relationship to yourself. It's going to show that you hate yourself. And a drug abuser does actually show hate toward themselves because they are deliberately destroying their body. Now, it's just so awful. Now, I'm going to talk about some specific drugs here in just a moment. Just let me go ahead and point out a couple of things to you that when you have the principles of God that you do not want to violate yourself, then that should also extend in our love and in our direction toward our fellow man. That is, we don't want to violate our relationship with our fellow man. We want to do things that will be helpful toward him. It causes the home to break down. Children violate their relationship to their parents when they become drug abusers, because they were supposed to obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord, but then they go off into the drugs, and it destroys the home life, you see. Romans 13, verse 9, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this. Listen to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we talked about yourself just a moment ago. What about that neighbor? What good are you doing them by bringing drugs into your community? You're not doing them any favors. You're not doing any good. Now, there are all kinds of different controlled substances out there, and each one of these has a deleterious effect in various ways when they're not used for medicinal purposes. For example, narcotics. Narcotics are good and fine in and of themselves, right? It's just a thing. And we've already pointed out from the scripture that a thing can be used in a good way or in a bad way. There's no reason why in all the scriptures that I just gave that you would have to use any kind of drug, whether it be alcohol or an even stronger drug like a narcotic, in a bad way. If they're prescribed to you, that's done for a reason. And a doctor ought to very carefully prescribe that in such a way as to be a help to you. And let's say that after you got over your sickness or whatever, you've got a few of those pills up on the shelf. What are you doing with them there? That's just an invitation for somebody to break into your house and try to steal them, or it's an invitation for you to be tempted and take them when you don't have to. Why not just flush them? Wouldn't that be a good idea? But you got all these narcotics out here. You have morphine, for example, has a legitimate use. Daughter just had a test recently, and in that test they actually used morphine in order to get the gallbladder to show up like it needed to. Fascinating, isn't it? But that's a far different reason than using it in order to actually escape the realities of life as a just an entertainment drug. That's what's awful about this, is that people use it directly against the purpose that God gave it. You've got other drugs that used to be real big. Heroin, which is maybe not as big as it used to be, but still out there. You've got other narcotics that are out there too. You got your Percodans or Percocets and all that kind of stuff. These drugs, many of which are given that they've discovered can relieve massive amounts of pain, can also cause a problem when you release them in the body, but there's no pain for them to find. Let me describe that to you for a moment. Let's say a man is an alcoholic, and you are out here and you start to take a drink, but you don't need the drink. Your body has nothing to counteract with that alcohol. So if you were in a particular pain and the alcohol was given to you as something to dull the senses while you're undergoing some sort of medical procedure or whatever, then in the old days, you know, they might give you alcohol for that. But anyway, that's one thing. But when somebody has no particular pain or particular ailment, like a stomach ailment or something like that, and you're taking it outside of any kind of prescription or something, just as a beverage, then what happens is that, let's say you're an alcoholic, that's going to hit your body and have a distinct effect. It will release and have an endorphin effect so that your body reacts and says, whoa, wait a minute here. I don't really know what to think about this. I've got kind of a different feeling, and then you get the buzz begin. Now, you may not recognize it at first, but the effect is there, even if you can't consciously tell it. And I know that is true because you look out here at the laws concerning, for example, drunk driving. It used to be that you had anywhere from, say, 1.5 to, 0.15 to 0.1 was your legal alcohol limit. And then they started changing that to 0.08, and now they're changing it in many places to 0.05. Why all these changes and bringing it down? The reason they bring it down is because they've recognized that you are losing your inhibition, you're losing your control, you're losing your abilities far before anybody would ever say, oh, I've got a buzz or I'm getting drunk. And this is something that is easily seen in reaction times and all that kind of stuff, and it's easily seen in the Bible definition of the word. What does drunkenness mean? People don't really understand what that means. You didn't drink X amount of beers, and all of a sudden, after this next one, you were drunk, period. And before then, you weren't drunk at all. That's not how it works. You didn't start taking shots, and then, I wasn't drunk after the first or the second one, and when I took the third one, boom, I'm drunk. That's not how it happens. Drunkenness means to grow softened, and it happened over a period of time. And people, a lot of times, when they start using these narcotics and they abuse the prescriptions that are given to them, they didn't all of a sudden take five of them. What happens is they took one when they didn't really need to take one, and they had a certain effect from that. Well, my back's never felt this good, that kind of thing or something. And so then they didn't really have to have it to function that day, but they took it anyway. And what happens is they can't get that same effect when they keep on taking it all the time. And so they end up taking two, and then they're taking three, and then that's the hook that the devil puts us on. That's what he wanted all along. is for us to get hooked on that narcotic or some other kind of drug. There's many kinds of drugs. They're not all narcotics. Many are just plain old depressants, barbiturates that bring you down, and other things that people will take, Valium and whatnot. People will take stimulants, things to bring them up. You have others that have the cocaine problem, those that are under amphetamines or methamphetamines of different kinds. And these things, of course, try to, the people get them to stimulate themselves, to bring them up. They still enjoy some of them, the hallucinogens. It doesn't have to be LSD or PCP or something, but there are also various hallucinogenics out there. And, of course, the cannabis drugs, marijuana and the related drugs that you have. Every single one of them may have a particular good use, but every single one of them can also have an effect on the body, and that starts affecting your body just as soon as you begin taking it in the form of a drug. When you take something into your body, when you have a need or feel a need, and there is no medical condition commensurate with that, that is, you would have to sneak around to get the drug because you're not going to get a doctor to tell you, oh, yeah, you got this, that, and the other, and it requires this medicine. And it's not something that's going to treat your condition anyway. It's just given so-called for pain. Then there's a point at which you need to stop and ask yourself, what kind of pain am I experiencing here? Is it the kind of pain that Jesus can take care of through other matters, through prayer, through meditation, through dedication, through temperance, through the love of God and recognizing it for me, through living for doing good instead of being idle? And all of these things should well up within our minds. Am I taking it just simply because of psychological reasons, or do I really have a medical condition? And if that medical condition requires it, then why am I not taking things just according to the prescription? So you've got all these questions that should pop into people's minds before they actually abuse the drug. Otherwise, they are going to end up being drug abusers. And you never know whether your body may have a particularly bad reaction to that certain drug. They have an easy name for this when it comes to alcohol, and they say, well, so-and-so's an alcoholic. Anybody can abuse alcohol, but some people are especially in tune with it in their bodies, and they become alcoholic. Or they are alcoholics, and that gets recognized in the body when they start drinking. And you got other people that may have an extreme reaction to other drugs. I've known, and it's been in the news, of people that were, let's say, good athletes. And they tried cocaine maybe just for the first time, and bam, they died right off the bat. Why? Because their bodies, you see, weren't bodies that would have the same effect that other people might have if they take cocaine. I'm not saying other people should take cocaine. What I'm saying is that their bodies had an extreme reaction, just like the alcoholics have a different kind of reaction to alcohol than you normally might have. And so you never know what effect a drug's going to have on you when you first take it, how much in tune your body is with that, or how violent of a reaction it's going to have. Therefore, the need never to take it if you don't have to have it. And clearly the scriptures back me up on this. Everything from the definition of drunkenness to the general teachings of not violating your relationship to yourself, love yourself, not violating the relationship with your neighbor, love thy neighbor, and not violating your relationship with God, to love the Lord God supremely, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus said that, ladies and gentlemen. Can you picture Jesus violating his own body with any of this stuff? Therefore, we should try to help our fellow man to get out of this as much as possible, to keep them from having a wasted life where their mind grows dull through the use of these drugs and they never bring any good work to fruition and they fail to consider the needs of their soul because they're so clouded with drugs. This is something that all of us should fight. You fight it by making sure your community is as good and pure and dry as you can get it. You fight it by making sure that your children are freed from the influence of any of these things, that you know where it is that they're going when they have a party to go to, that you know who it is that they're hanging around, that you love them, spend time with them, and by all means keep from the neglect that has caused our children to go into such a problem around the state line area here. I thank you very much for listening to the program today, and if you need any kind of help, if your children need some kind of help, please don't hesitate. All you've got to do is contact us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. We can help you maybe to contact some other people if it's beyond the kind of thing that we can assist you with. Maybe you need professional kind of help or counseling or something. Why not give us a call at area code 270-487-5342. Why not come by and see us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ? It could be that your body just simply needs that spiritual release, that way that you can get out of the perceived need for drugs and things like that in your mind. Instead, we want you to get high on life, as they say. We want you to get to where you have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Let Him be the one that you attach yourself to. Be addicted to love. Be addicted to all that's good. And we learn how to do that kind of thing in the lessons that we bring and in all that we say at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. We'd love to have you come and to be with us this morning during the worship time. Worship starts with Bible study, actually, in Sunday school at 9:30. Worship starts shortly after 10. And then again on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We'd love to have you come out and to be with us and to visit with us, see how that we can help one another to live a more pure life before God. And I thank you so much for listening to the radio broadcast this morning, and just encourage you to always tune in on Sunday mornings, 8:30 a.m., and on our weekday programs. If you haven't been listening to that, you really need to check that out if you can. After the Noonday News and Obituary Report, then right after that, we'll get on the air and tell you all kinds of good news from God's Word in our 10-minute program on that each weekday. So in the meantime, appreciate you studying with us this morning. Hope you all can make it out to church. If you can't, then that's why we bring these messages to you on radio, right? Have a blessed day.